This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Atlanta.
Today in Georgia, a judge ruled that election officials have to certify results, even if voter fraud is suspected. And around the state, Democrats are suing to prevent drop box surveillance, hand counting ballots, and voter ID protections. Why are Democrats trying to make elections less secure?
Well, you got to think to yourself when those are the types of things that are bubbling up, you're kind of like tilting your head and going, what? Why? It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. Let's talk. Oh, do we lose him? Oh, he's on video. That's right today. He's on video. That's right. Hi, Hans. Good to have
you
here. We appreciate you coming in, and you are the expert when it comes to election integrity. You wrote the book on it, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. They don't want us to even be able to look at the drop boxes in Georgia. What is that about?
Well, you know, when you combine all this together, it's like they want to make it easy to cheat.
Yes.
And, you know, this is one of those instances where the leadership of the Democratic Party is totally out of touch, actually, with their constituents. Because, you know, look, like on voter ID, remember, they're still totally opposed to voter ID. Georgia's actually got a very good voter ID law. The latest polling I've showed on this showed that 81% of Americans support voter ID, 69% of Democrats. 69%. That is a overwhelming number, and yet their leadership is out there saying, oh, we shouldn't have to show an ID, and oh, guarding and surveilling drop boxes, well, we don't want that to happen. Why in the world would you want anything like that unless you want to make it easy for people who are engaging in fraud to be able to stuff huge numbers of fraudulent absentee ballots in the ballot box? There's no other reason to oppose that.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. And for
it is.
For and especially in Georgia. Georgia seems to be one, at least polling wise. Donald Trump has had it's not a huge lead in Georgia, but a steady lead in Georgia, I would say.
Right.
It's not as close as some of the other swing states are, even though they are all close. What was this ruling that came through, the news alert came through yesterday from Georgia, a Georgia judge talking about the certification of the election results, regardless of allegations of fraud?
Well, it was a bad decision by a bad judge. I can elaborate on that, but I'll tell you, in essence, he said that no matter what election officials see, no matter what evidence they have of massive fraud could occur, obvious, blatant, and yet he says, oh, you got to certify the election anyway. I think that is wrong because as an election official in a county, you swear an oath to uphold all the laws of the state. And that includes, by the way, all the laws that say you can't commit fraud. So I think that was just a bad decision. He also said that an election rule that was passed basically in conformance with state law that said you have to reconcile at the end of the day the number of ballots that were put into the ballot box with, for example, the number of voters who actually registered, you know, when they came in, the number of votes that the computer scanner says it counted before they went in the ballot. You just have to make sure those numbers are the same. Why, you can't do that either.
What?
Which makes no sense.
I was going to say, tell me the part that I'm missing legally, why maybe I don't agree with it, but is there any logic behind taking that off the table to make sure that your numbers match up at the end of the day? Like, what am I not thinking about?
You know, it was interesting. The judge said, oh, you know, this is in accord with the law, but there's not enough time to train election officials between now and the election to be able to do it, and it'll cause chaos. Look, I used to be a county election official in Georgia. And the idea that it would cause chaos or big delays for the two folks who run a poll at the end of the day to simply open up the ballot box, count, are there 1,000 ballots in there? And then check the number on the computer scanner. Does it show that it counted 1,000 ballots? That's not difficult. That's not going to cause chaos. It's easy. And listen, if the computer scanner says, well, I counted 1,000 votes, but when you count them in the ballot box, there are 1,050. That means the scanner is messed up and didn't count all of the ballots. Obviously, you would want to know that. And yet this judge says, oh, no. But this is, I don't, and if you know about it, this is a bad judge. A year ago, he suddenly declared Georgia's abortion law, which has been in place since 2019. He said it was unconstitutional. The Georgia Supreme Court almost unanimously overturned his decision, said he was wrong. So what does he do? A month ago, he issues a decision saying it's unconstitutional again, defying the state Supreme Court, and they just issued a stay of his ruling. That's the kind of judge you have assigned to this case.
It's bizarre to observe from the outside looking in, as someone who's by no means an expert on the legal system, which is why we have experts like you, Hans von Spakovsky, on with us, who is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, as well as a former FEC commissioner. You hear about these rulings like this, and everybody seizes up on whatever the ruling is, super good or super bad for whatever their side is on whatever the issue is. And then there's always an appeal, and then everybody has to sit and wait again. So it's a lot of hurry up and wait. Is this judge's ruling final for this election, or will we see an appeal 70 times before the actual election gets here in 19 days?
Well, it's probably too late to get it changed. I mean, the only thing that could possibly happen is if they file an immediate appeal of this decision and the appeals court or the Georgia State Supreme Court issues a stay saying, no, his order won't go into effect while this is on appeal. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I suspect it probably won't get done, because we're less than 3 weeks from Election Day, and early votings are starting in the state, and so I suspect the upper courts, the appeals, the Supreme Court are going to say, well, we just don't want to get into this right now.
Ugh, man. We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. You talked a little bit about the ruling about the certification of the results, even if there's an allegation of fraud. And I want to ask you, since you are the expert when it comes to these things, to explain to us in simple terms the certification process, because these are things that we've been hearing about for years now.
Right.
Questions about certifications. There's, slates of electors. There's all of these things that we only talk about when election season comes around, unless you're nerds like maybe we are here on the Andy Fry Show. Explain the process to me and what this ruling does to that process.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes.
Well, what happens on Election Day, as you know, is, of course, the votes have been cast and finally get counted. They get tabulated. And oftentimes in some states, the day after the election, they do what they call a canvass, where they go over the numbers again from each polling place to make sure that there were no mistakes and no errors. And then what happens is whoever the chief election official or the county board of elections for each county, they have to have a meeting. And at that meeting, they decide, okay, the results of the counting of ballots, is it final? Has everything been resolved? Can we now declare these are the official results of the election in our county? That's what certification is. It's the local election officials declaring these are the official results of the election. And here's our signature in which we all certify. This is the official count and official end of the election in our county. That's what certification is.
And so if there are people in that meeting and they're saying, oh, no, 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 we have numbers that don't match up, or we, right. I don't know, pipes bursting in the middle of the night, whatever it might be. If those allegations are there, even if they're very obvious, evidentiary, provable, what did the judge say about the requirement to certify those results?
He says you can't do anything about it. You, the election official, can't do anything about it. He says all you can do is make a note for the record so that if a lawsuit is filed after certification, why, that's up to the courts to determine. You, the election official, you can't do anything about it. You have to certify it, which, like I said, as a former county election official in Atlanta, in Fulton County, makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, we're just laying the groundwork here. It seems like, I don't want to know how the movie ends and not like the ending that we can see coming, and know that we can't do anything about it. The last question I have for you, Hans, and I think that this is one that is weighing on a lot of people's minds as we get very close, 19 days from Election Day, which gives us election night. What states do you expect us to not have results from at the conclusion, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., I'm talking right. Central Time, midnight on election night?
Well, Pennsylvania goes to the top of my list because of the fact that, they've changed the law there to allow absentee ballots to come in after Election Day. So I really don't know how long it's going to take them there to get the results in. I would also be worried about North Carolina simply because of the hurricane damage there, which is the counties affected are about one fifth of the vote in the state.
It's a lot.
And that's a lot of votes. So hopefully they are going to be able to get the votes counted. Hopefully people will be able to vote, get the votes counted and get it in on time. But I just don't know if that's going to be a problem. Georgia had about 55 counties affected by the hurricane. And I don't know if that's going to delay the election. And look, Florida has greatly improved its election since 2020. I mean, they've become one of the top states in the country. But man, they had a lot of hurricane damage too. So again, I don't know how much that's going to delay the results out there. And Arizona has been the subject of huge fights. And we had a very close election last time. So again, I don't know how quickly we're going to get an answer there.
Do you feel like Arizona is in a better position for the 2024 election than the 2020?
Slightly better. They've been so embarrassed, I think, by some of the problems they had, including, as you know, one of the last elections where the machines they were using for printing ballots quit working on election day and they couldn't print out ballots. And I'm hoping that the election runs smoother. The problem there is that in 2023, a Democrat replaced the prior Republican Secretary of State. And it's not that I have anything against Democrats, but this particular Secretary of State, any measures to improve the integrity of the election process, he's against.
Ugh, that's frustrating. So you're saying, I heard you say Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida all have reasons to believe that maybe there won't be an election night result to report.
Right.
In any of those cases, in any of those states, is it possible, I mean, knock on wood, that it would go the way I would want it to go, that the margin of victory at the time at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., midnight Eastern, that the margin of victory is such that they can go ahead and report it?
Yeah, no, I think that could very well happen. But again, what the polling shows. We had a very close election. I saw this morning that Trump is now 2 points ahead in the national polls, but national polls don't really tell you what's going on in each state. And that's an issue. Plus, voting started in places like Virginia at the end of September. So a lot of people have already voted. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible we could quickly get a result, but that's going to depend on the margin of victory of whoever is ahead.
All right. Well, Hans von Spakovsky, thank you so much for lending your former FEC commissioner expertise to us here. And I encourage people to check out your book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. It's a must read, especially for people who want to understand these things better. Hans, we're grateful for you. Thanks for being here again today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep. As of course, happy to have you. Hans von Spakovsky there, always a great interview. Make sure you check out the Annie Fry Show podcast if you want to hear the whole conversation. If you didn't get to hear it, we'll have that up shortly here on the Annie Fry Show podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. It's up there. Go check it out. When we come back, Wiggins America in studio with us right here. And you can go vote in that YouTube live chat poll if you want to join us on there. That's the first time we've had Hans on the video with us. That was wonderful. I knew that was happening, and then I went to look at the phone, and he wasn't there, and I thought we lost him, and he was looking at me. That was interesting. On the YouTube live chat poll, did Brett Baier conduct a fair interview, yes or no? Got to let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and our live broadcast there. Wiggins America, next. Don't go away.
Ransom got rotten, a piece of my childhood will never be forgotten.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.